Hey everybody, Stu Smith here going live. Hope you are well. Happy Monday. And today, while you guys congregate on here and crush that like button, we're going to talk a little bit about exercise as medicine. So about 400 BC, Hippocrates was one of the first persons who said, exercise is medicine, and he actually is accredited for prescribing exercise to patients, considered one of the world's first doctors. You know, we had the Hippocratic Oath, all that stuff. So anyway, I'm writing an article on it. I heard an interesting study that came out of Australia and Germany. I think there's two of them, where they just did an analysis of exercise and not exercise groups dealing with patients who had depression, anxiety, just overstressed. And they found that it worked quite well, exercise did, compared to therapy and medicine. So now I would say this as a big caveat that there is no one size fits all when it comes to anything dealing with depression, mental health, physical health. Like, think about all the diets out there that people do. I mean, there's dozens of diets. Everybody swears by them. You know, so there's not one method that is going to work. So I would say in conjunction of therapy, medication, and exercise, you can really help yourself with mental health issues. Because I will say this, it's hard to be depressed when you're moving. Now, some people can because they have some kind of medical hormonal imbalance or something that is causing that, where that's where medication comes in. And like I said, I'm not a psychologist or anything. I just like reading studies that are interesting when exercise is applied to a wide variety of ailments that we deal with in our lives, from diabetes, heart disease, cancers. You know, exercise is medicine. And I think we all do ourselves a big disservice if exercise is neglected. And I'm not even talking about performance goals and spec ops level training. I'm talking about just walking every day and stretching, you know, or doing something you enjoy that is physical activity. Doesn't have to be exercise. You don't have to join a gym to reap these benefits. Just walk. You know, I still try to get 10,000 steps a day outside of my, you know, running and swimming and lifting and calisthenics, because I want that to be a habit, because I know as I age out, there'll be a time where maybe I can't do all the things that I do now, or at least as well as I do now, because I can see it at 54. I'm not 24 anymore. I can see where the downhill is going. But you can really add some life to your years if you just keep on moving. So whether that is just walking your dog or doing yard work, get out there and get after it. So there we go. That was my intro to this. I'll have an article. I'll probably post it today, and it's titled Exercise is Medicine, and it talks about this study a little bit as well. So, you guys have anything for me? If you don't right now, you guys can think about your questions. Happy to answer them later. This is one of my favorite weeks we're doing. We are doing a lift week in the middle of our Cals and Cardio cycle. It is week 8 of spring. where we're throwing in a lift week, and I changed it up a little bit, so I'm not exactly following this, is I made it like, these are hard to do, by the way, 3 full body days on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, with spec ops tries in the days in between. So we got a like a 2 mile run, 2 mile ruck, and a 1 mile swim on the beach on Tuesday and Thursday, and then Saturday's our mobility long run bike day if you want to add in some more miles. And then we're having a big group of guys shipping, so we'll go back to middle of the week mobility days probably next week. And I think next week we're probably going to do the triple Murph week, where each day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, is a Murph of some fashion. So we'll do a Murph with a pyramid with a lot of running in between. We'll do a Murph with a superset, you know, sub-max level, like 10 sets of 10, 20, 30. And then we'll do a Murph with a max rep set workout where you do, you know, 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats in as few sets as possible. And that's the challenge. How, I don't really race it. I don't like racing, but I like to see how few sets I can do to get 100, 200, 300. My best is 4 sets. It's back probably 10 years ago. Though we've had some guys do 3 sets, 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats in 3 sets. That was impressive. But I usually go between 5 and 6 now. So let's see. Just finished week 4 of cows and cardio, but I've been experiencing some shin pains that go away after I start running. Do you think it's shin splints, or do you have any solutions? It may be the beginning of shin splints. Here's the unique thing about it is when it may hurt a little bit before, and then if it goes away while you're running, basically what that means is you're getting blood to that area. It's becoming a little more pliable for you. And some of that pain may go away with the little tendons that are attaching there. So make sure you're massaging your shin muscles. You can even roll them out in a way. Maybe it's a little awkward, but you got to kind of pigeon toe your feet and roll the outside of your shins. But yeah, massage them, roll them. If you need to ice them, ice them. You know, add some compression when you run. Maybe that'll help as well. And then flex and stretch them, meaning do heel raises and calf raises. So heel raises and toe raises, right? So you're going to flex your shins. You're going to stretch your shins. Flex, stretch, flex, stretch. And never a bad idea to just reduce your mileage and replace it with biking or more swimming if you need to do that. How do I deal with inflammation? Well, I try not to eat foods that cause inflammation. That's helpful. I also take stuff like this, turmeric curcumin, vitamin E, omega-3 pills, which I don't have them on me. I need to bring those down. But those are good ways, you know, eat fish, fruits and vegetables, stuff like that. I seem to do okay with it, but you can definitely tell when you start eating a lot of processed foods, maybe just had bad food choices for a week, that you can tell things are getting inflamed. So I tend to try to go as natural as I can. I will have a soft serve ice cream during a baseball game every now and then, but other than that, I try to keep it natural. And maybe like once every 2 weeks, I'll have a hot dog. So you just got to keep it in moderation and just really watch what you're eating and don't overdo it to where you're causing a inflammation response to your joints, and keep doing mobility stuff regularly. Do you think that resistance bands are worth it to gain strength if weights are not available? If so, what exercises would you use? First of all, I don't think it's going to necessarily help you gain strength. I mean, unless you're really a beginner, resistance bands are going to at best help you maintain strength if you have no weights. But I would go with more calisthenics than I would resistance bands. But think of it as you got to do both if you really want to balance it all out. But, you know, there's some exercises calisthenics just don't cover. So you can do a lot of the bicep curls with the resistance bands, tricep extensions, you know, mix those with pull-ups and push-ups and dips. You know, you can do squats with them as well to make squats a little bit harder, but you could also put a backpack on and make squats harder. So I don't think resistance bands should be your only option. I think you should have calisthenics in there. Resistance bands are great, weight vests or sandbags, something like that. So you can diversify your training and not just be doing resistance bands. Something I like to do is get a weight vest or a backpack and do all my calisthenics. So that's now 25, 30 pounds added to my push-ups and my pull-ups and dips and squats and lunges. You know, if you want to try to gain strength and especially maintain strength, that's one way to do it if you have no weights. So bunch of answers in that one. So that's a good one, though. I may write an article on that one. I was thinking about not running for a few weeks and do a non-impact cardio instead. From what mileage would I start again then? That's a good question. I wouldn't start off where you left off. I would probably drop it 50% when you start off, maybe 7 or, you know, maybe 25%. So let's say you're running 20 miles. I wouldn't necessarily, you know, I'd probably drop it between 10 and 15. If you're going to, you know, somewhere that range for your first week back, mix in some non-impact in place of it. Hey, Stu, I'm getting ready for SOAS next year. Plenty of time. I got some other guys doing the same thing because I wasn't able to have my packet ready. That happens. Been doing a lot of volume, 45 miles a week, swimming 1,000 meters. 1,000 meters is a good warm up. I mean, 1,000 meters is okay. I would probably swim 2,000, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, and every other day with fins, without fins. You're going to have two tests out there. You're going to have a 500 meter yard swim without fins, and you're going to have a mile, so 2,000 yards with fins. So make sure you swim with fins on leg days. 45 miles is fine, especially in the summer, but I would not try to maintain that year round. Maybe try to cycle your running a little bit, maybe work on some other weaknesses if you can. If you can get your 4 mile timed run down to sub 28, if you can get your mile and a half down to 9, I think that's fine. You know, you're not going to need 50, 60 miles to prepare for SOAS. It's only a week long. You would, you know, cycle through, maybe drop your mileage down to 20 miles per week and work on some strength, which you'll need because you will be using logs and boats and things like that out there at SOAS. But primarily right now, between now and January, I would say your number one focus should be the PST because you have to submit PST scores that are competitive in order to get selected for SOAS. Like I said, between now and then, you can definitely cycle your running up to a point, do a little lifting, do a little PST focus, you know, and next thing you know, you're PSTing for real by, you know, December, January, submitting those scores, you're good to go. Will there be a time I need to quit your job? I don't think so. I mean, like I said, you're only training for a week. right? You're not training for 6 months. So if you get selected to go to Buds, then absolutely, after SOAS, probably by September of next year, you will know if you're going to OCS or not. Then it's time to quit your job and start training hard, because you're going to have to get a little bit of downtime at OCS for your training. Yeah, we can talk about that. Email me if you have other questions. I don't want to beat a dead horse on that one. Have your Father Hogue workout. Yeah, that's old school. Is there supposed to be done every day, or are rest days allowed? I'm not very athletic, and I'm a bit overweight. Yeah, that's a 45-day program. You can do one of two ways. You can spread that out over 9 weeks, where you do five workouts a week. Like, the columns are set up in day one through five, right, for 45 days. It's up to you. You can go every single day for 45 days straight, because there are rest days put in there, and you'll see them. Or you can go day one through five as week one, day six through 10 as week two, and go like that and spread it out into 63 days or 9 weeks versus 45 days. So it is up to you, sir. And good luck. That was a fun workout for me doing with him. In fact, I still see him. He is a priest over here at St. Mary's in Annapolis. So we had lunch a couple months ago. He's still getting after it. What would you recommend for a deload week or taper week the week before a selection course? Well, I would say, about 50% of what you normally do. Rest your joints, add a couple mobility days in there. But you still want to run, you still want to bike, get some cardio in there. You want to do a few, calisthenics days, stay loose, maybe throw a lift in there, but nothing crazy. And get good night's sleep, eat really well, and then just go, it's game day, right? And go crush it. But I wouldn't take too many days off. What I mean by that is, you don't want to take 5 days off doing nothing. Then just everything hurts when you start moving again. So at least do mobility days. I've played around with this with folks, and we've done some where they did a mobility day every other day. We have had some that did because they were just kind of burned out. And I said, you know what? Just do mobility day 5 days this week. It's just a 5 minute bike, 5 minute stretch and foam roll. Do that five times, followed up with a swim. And, one day they were running for 5 minutes instead of biking for 5 minutes. So I'll put my mobility day article in the comment section here. You guys check this out, because it's a good one. You can add in there anytime you need a little deload. You feel like crap, do a mobility day. Don't take a day off. Just do a mobility day. It's easy. It's a recovery day, but it's also hard, and it's hard to stretch sometimes when you're not feeling particularly limber. That's a good question. When running, how do you set a goal pace that is achievable? Well, here's what I do. When I say do a goal pace run, what I mean by that is what is your current run time? So let's say you're running a 10:30 mile and a half. That means you're running a 7 minute mile. So if you want to run faster than that, the next logical goal pace is somewhere between 30 seconds and a minute per mile. So you're going to go from a 7 minute mile to a 6 to 6:30 mile. So that means a quarter mile run would now go from 1:45 to 1:30 to 1:35. So you're going to drop it by like 15 seconds, 10 to 15 seconds. A half mile would go from a 3:30 to a 3 or 3:15, right? That mile would go from a 7 to a 6 to 6:30. So you're just picking up the pace a little bit. Now, it may be difficult for you if you don't have a way to track your distance and your time, because you got to have a watch and you got to have a known distance, or you got to have a fancy watch that tells you distance and time. I just have a regular Ironman triathlon, so I just track my pace on a track, or we have a trail where we run, paved trail where we run, where down and back is a mile. So I know my half mile split and I know my mile time. So you can do it that way. But that's how you do it. And if it's not achievable, then you're not in shape to make it achievable. So now you got to get in faster running shape. You know, some of those runs don't have to be goal pace runs. They can be slower aerobic training runs. You can be on a bike or swim. You know, you just got to get your heart and lungs capable of running that. And then, you know, add in some leg days where you're doing some squats and lunges that are just calisthenics. Work on a little leg stamina, because it's typically two things that fail you when you try to run faster. It's either your legs or your lungs and heart. So work on those. So week 10 of Cows and Cardio. Nice. Just got your PST workout book. Should I hop off your Cows and Cardio in favor of the PST workout? I'm in good running swimming shape, just not fast. It's up to you. You know, if you look at the rest of the Cows and Cardio, does that look like it's progressing for you? If you want to progress a little harder, I would probably go to the PST workout. Both of those are good options. It really kind of just depends on the level of your current ability and what you can handle with the progression. I would say the PST workout probably progresses pretty quickly, but I will say that back half of the Cows and Cardio program, that advanced section, is pretty darn tough. I've seen some guys like really crush the PST with just that Cows and Cardio program. And they started back at the beginner intermediate weeks of that Cows and Cardio program, not even able to finish the PST. And like 12 to 16 weeks later, they were blowing that PST out of the water. So that works really well on all levels, from a beginner, intermediate, advanced. Cows and Cardio works. PST is just going to be another layer of that, you know, take it to another level. If I need a substitute for lat pull downs, what should I do instead? I would do probably weight vest pull ups. So maybe a 20-pound weight vest, you know, something that reduces your pull ups to like 5 to 10 reps. So if you can do 15, 20 pull ups, then put enough weight on there where it's just a little bit heavier. And now you can only do 5 to 10. Now you got yourself a good lat pull down supplement. Bro Chacho says, good morning. Can you give me an opinion on knees over toes ideology? I think from what I have seen, it works really well. I have had a couple of guys get on it because they had knee surgery. So they had some weaknesses that they were trying to really develop in their knees. And that was very helpful for them. I was very impressed. You know, they showed me what they were doing. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. And I tell you, you know, just seeing some of that stuff, I've been more inclined to do a lot deeper movements with lunges and squats. You know, I've always, you know, for decades have kept my knees over my toes, right? I mean, I never really went beyond that. You know, try to keep my shins vertical when I went down. But, you know, seeing some of his stuff and some of the science behind it, it makes a lot of sense to, you know, really hit the deep end of those knee joints and ankle joints just for pure mobility purposes. So there you go. I think my shin splints cause was running too fast too soon, do you think it's important to have a good slow run base around 20 miles before started practicing a faster pace? No, I just think limit your faster pace. You know, don't run fast every single day. You know, have a day where it's a sprint, have a day where it's a goal pace, have a day where it's a slower distance run. You have a day when there's no running at all, you know, and doing mobility stuff and non-impact, you know, and, you know, spread those models out throughout the week. And then what you really need to work on, do it a second or third time. So if you need to work on your goal pace, hit it that, you know, for that fourth or fifth workout. If you need to work on your aerobic base, you know, do a little slower stuff. You know, keep that zone two in there. So it just really depends on what you can handle. Unfortunately, a lot of non-running athletes can't handle building up their volume by running more, you know, because of what you're experiencing right now. You're experiencing shin splints, maybe from faster pace, maybe from running too much. I don't know. I've seen both happen. So what I would suggest is maybe instead of adding more miles at a slower pace doing aerobic stuff, add time on a bike followed by a run. So there's a workout called Bricks where it's a bike run combo, bike for 20 minutes, run for 20 minutes. You got 40 minutes of cardio with 20 minutes of the impact. That is a smarter way to build your aerobic base if you're a non-running athlete at, you know, 145 pounds and are used to running 70 miles a week. Most non-running athletes just can't handle the standard volume of, you know, building your aerobic base through running. That's just the way it is. All right. Looks like I went through all the questions. If I do miss any of your questions, by the way, you guys can email me, stu@stusmith.com. If you have videos to send them there, or you can DM me on my Instagram account, which is stusmith50, same as my TikTok account, stusmith50. But that TikTok account is nothing but CSS critiques. In fact, you should check it out if you're wanting to see some CSS critiques all in one place, because that's all I do on that one. You know, some people were saying, nah, don't do that. You won't get any followers. I don't care about followers. I just want an easy place where all my stuff is on one page, right? Like my Instagram reels are kind of littered with other stuff, and, you know, it's not all CSS stuff. My YouTube page, it has these lives, it has podcasts, it has exercise movements, it has you know, these, you know, CSS critiques in there as well, strewn about. You know, I think there's over 500 videos you'd have to sift through to find all of the CSS critiques. So that's why I try to push people over either to TikTok or to my reels over at Instagram for pretty much an easy guide to the CSS and a lot of useful videos over there. And tomorrow we'll talk about some CSS. The reason why I was late this morning, I was filming some guys from out of town who came in, and I wanted to make sure they were doing the CSS correctly. Few things to fix, but I got some good videos today. We can share some of those tomorrow. Let's see. What else we got? Any more comments? Mikhail from Denmark? I always forget where you're from. Denmark or Norway? Where are you from? How's training going? Have you gotten over your shin splints? That's a good question for you. Hey, why is Navy SARC one of the only Spec Ops programs that can have prior rate like HM before attending their training? Because they are HMs. Sarks are special amphibious recon corpsmen. So that's where they pull, you know, they pull corpsmen to go greenside to be with Marines. And then if they want to go SARC, you know, they can go to recon course. And next thing you know, they're getting advanced spec ops medic training. And then their recon or MARSOC platoon corpsmen as Navy guys. But, I mean, there are other, there are other jobs in the Navy, or I should say SEALs and SWCC will pull from other rates as well. It's just not that common. Unfortunately, for the Navy and even the Air Force to a degree, majority of the recruits come from the street, not from the fleet, which means basically there's nothing in the Navy that prepares you physically or tactically for your future profession, like in the SEAL program or in the PJ program, right? There's nothing in the job description itself. There's no training pipeline. Like in the Marines and Army, you got guys going through boot camp, which is a little tougher. You got infantry training. You got airborne. You got air assault. You got Rangers. Then you go into SF, you know, for the Marines, you got the same thing. You got Marine Infantry, and you can go Marine Recon, you can go Marine MARSOC. You know, there's a pipeline of training that can prepare you over time to be a better operator. That's why those guys have smaller attrition rates, is because, one, they're just seasoned in their profession that is not easy. Right, there's nothing in the Navy or Air Force that really prepares you for those spec ops jobs. Probably the closest thing in the Navy we would have would be like rescue swimmers, right? Or maybe Navy divers too. So, you know, that's a decent preparation for those jobs, but it's not the best. So there's nothing in those roles, but the Navy SARC, it makes sense. They're going to be pulling from HMs because they are HMs. They will always be HMs. All right. I'm in college right now. I have 3 years to train for spec war. Plenty of time, but you need it. I don't really have an excuse not to be ready. Of those 3 years, what should I focus on most? Background in wrestling and jiu-jitsu. Well, you know, the journey goes like this. If you want to get to the training, you got to crush the PST. So that means whatever fitness test your spec war wants, you know, it's swimming, running, calisthenics, crush that stuff. You know, whatever your test is, you got to crush it. If you want to get through the training, you need to do some intel and understand what are the events in training that you have to do. For buds, for example, you got 4 mile timed runs every week. You got 2 mile swims in the ocean every week. You have obstacle courses. You have more runs on the beach. You have PTs all the time. The first 4 weeks, you got logs and boats, which crush people. So there's a lot to prepare for in that time. So when you have 3 years, what I tell folks to do is get on a cycle of tactical fitness periodization. So, in fact, I'm going to put this link right here because it explains everything on how to create programming that will address any of your strengths and help you maintain them, as well as address your weaknesses and help you build them to a point where they're no longer a weakness. That's what this one's all about. This is my spring training one right here, seasonal, tactical fitness, periodization. I have several books on it, though. You know, I have several books that are on that cycle, where it's the spring and summer is kind of cals and cardio-based focus, you know, working on all the PST-related events. you know, with some lifting maintenance. And then the fall and winter are a little bit different. It's a little bit less running, still swimming a lot, rucking, and there's some lifting in there versus all the reps of the calisthenics that we were doing spring and summer. Those reps are cut back a little bit. We use them as warm-ups, but we lift heavy, build some strength, and maybe some mass if you need to put on some mass. And then we come back around again, rip it up with some cals and cardio cycles. And that's just a way to train that I've been doing now since I was 30 years old. So I'm on my 24th year of seasonal tactical fitness periodization. I'm still working out with 22-year-olds. And I'm a little slower just because I'm a little older, but I'm still doing it, you know, and still feel pretty good about it. And all, by the way, all these guys are going to some form of spec ops too. So, you know, it's not like we're just lifting and that's it. You know, we're lifting, running, swimming, rucking, calisthenics, doing it all. So, Mikhail, yeah, from Denmark. Things are going well. Basic training's ended. Oh, nice. Good job. Slowly added running to the training again. But as of right now, I'm treating my shins as if I was a beginner. Smart. Very smart. Well, congratulations. And let's see. Good deal. Another question. My spec ops mentor tried to get me to sign for Navy SWCC or Diver. He was saying that I can use those programs to cross rate to something like SEAL or SARC. Is that true? Yes. But it's difficult. It's not as easy as he just states it, right? I mean, it is a hurdle to do a lateral transfer. One, those guys don't necessarily want to let you go after they trained you, right? And, you know, you pretty much have to be at the end of your enlistment in order to make that kind of demand, unless they're overmanned and they're trying to get rid of people. That could be in your favor. I don't know. If they are overmanned, they're trying to get rid of people, it's easy to make those transitions. However, the other side has to want people. You know, they can't be overmanned either, or they won't take you. So there's a lot going on in that journey that is it's out of your control. You know, yes, I have seen people sign up for SWCC and go to BUDS. I've seen people do other jobs and go be SARCs. You know, it can happen. But if you want to do SARC, my advice is go HM straight out of the Navy. You know, straight out of boot camp, go through your HM training, do all that. Go Greenside, work with the Marines, go through your recon training, do all that, get SOC M training, you know, be a special operations combat medic. And next thing you know, you're a SARC. So, yeah, it just depends on what you want to do. Like SEALs also need medics, so they will take them and go through the special operations combat medic training as well. So they will be a SEAL, but they will also be medic qualified. But the cool thing about the SEAL program is, you know, medics can also be snipers. They could also be comms guys. You know, it just depends on their training diversity over the years, how many platoons they do. But, yeah, there you go. So, Mikhail from Denmark, generally a lot of my numbers have decreased due to basic. Yeah, that happens, even though I'm trying to maintain as much as possible. But I will contact you in the upcoming weekend. All right. Send it. Happy to assist. All right, folks. I may have to cut this a little short today. Got some big to-dos to get done. So Todrick says, yes, I got a HM contract from MEPS, and that's my plan. Thanks. Yeah, that's cool. You can do that. Absolutely. You know, you do need to crush that PST, though. In fact, that's why I even in the title of that phase one program I just redid. I don't think I have a copy of it. It's for SEAL, SWCC, Diver, EOD, Rescue Swimmer, and SARC. SARC is now taking the PST to do that. So, yeah, do that. Go Greenside as soon as you can. You'll be working with Marines. They'll be fun to work with. You'll take the Marine Corps PFT, which is harder than the Navy PFT. And next thing you know, you can try out for recon training, but you definitely want to be prepared for it. You know, hang out with the dudes that are trying to do the same thing and go crush some workouts. You definitely want to get used to swimming with camis on. And that sucks. Treading water with camis, not fun. So practice all that stuff. All right. All right, folks. Sorry I got to cut it early today. Just started late, so got to cut it early. And I'll be back tomorrow. We'll do some CSS critiques. I'll take your questions again. In the meantime, go check out StuSmithFitness.com. If you got articles you want to read, I posted some new articles up there. I posted a really good one I'm going to talk about tomorrow, but it's my latest article. If you click the articles link, it's about the 10 mistakes people make going into Spec Ops or joining the military in general. And they're actually chapter titles of the latest ebook that I sent or that I created. And I mean, it's so important that people read it. I'm also offering it for free. In fact, it's normally $9.99 to download this ebook. It's not a workout book. It's just all these mistakes. It's got some links to workouts. Got a lot of links in it. That's why I left it as an ebook, because it's kind of not useful without all the links in it. But if you type in free $9.99, in fact, I'll put it right here in the comments section. Free $9.99, you will get the new called Get Ready for the Military 10 Mistakes ebook. But here's the deal though, with a purchase and that free $9.99, you get the book for free. So it's not just go get the book for free. With any purchase you make, type in free $9.99, put that new book in there, and you'll see $9.99 come off the price. So it's a free ebook with a purchase. So there you go. So I'll put that in there for you. If you're interested in it, check it out. I appreciate your time regardless. And I'll be back tomorrow with some CSS critiques to show you guys. And maybe we can learn from some people's mistakes and people doing it right. So until next time, I will catch you guys later. You guys have a good day. See you tomorrow.